The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, share some laughs with the Mel Blanc Show. The firefighters face a series of false alarms in the adventures of Skeezix and friends on Gasoline Alley. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, the firefighters try to solve a series of false alarms in the adventures of Skeezix and friends on Gasoline Alley. Right now, Mel Blanc and friends bring you a Muscle Man contest on the Mel Blanc Show as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, presents The Mel Blanc Show. My lawnmower needs sharpening. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. My wife's percolator top is cracked. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Oh, my stocking has a run in it. I've got to take it to Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
My wife's going to have a baby. I got to take her to Mel Blanc, to the hospital. Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kern, Zookie, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and as the star in his own Fix-It Shop, Mel Blanc! Now let's drop in at Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. You know, Mel is one of those fellows who'll tackle any odd job and make it come out even. But it's an even bet that when he's through, the odds will be against him. You'll see just what I mean as soon as you listen to Mel talking things over with his girlfriend, Betty.
Gee, honey, your father's going to be proud of me when he sees how I fixed up everything for the company picnic tomorrow. The tables, the chairs, the barbecue.
Yes, Mel.
Yeah, but I keep remembering last year's picnic. You and I stayed after everybody left.
Uh-huh. You slipped your arm around my waist. I slipped my arm around your waist.
Yeah, and then we both puckered up and...
Yeah.
We blew out the fire together.
Oh, silly. But really, tomorrow's picnic means a great deal to Father.
Well, what's so special about it?
Well, this year, Lionel Owens, the district manager of Supermarkets Incorporated, is guest of honor.
Well, that's nice. But you and I will be together all day.
Now, listen. Huh? You see, Daddy has an idea Mr. Owens may promote him to be assistant district manager.
Gee, that'd be nice for your father. Hey, look, honey, tomorrow let's you and I take a rowboat.
Now, I'm trying to tell you something.
Huh?
Lionel Owens is very important to Daddy. And I have to be with him most of the day, make things pleasant for Mr. Owens at the picnic.
Oh, I get it.
We just want to help Daddy in any way we can, you know.
I know, and I'm trying my best. Look at this banner I painted to welcome Mr. Owens. Wait till I read it to you. The employees of Supermarket Incorporated Number 12 welcome Lionel Owens, Big Ham.
Mel!
Big ham and shrimp barbecue. Guess I put the comma in the wrong place.
Honey, you don't really mind about Mr. Owens and me tomorrow, do you?
Well, I had it all planned to be with you.
I know, but what about Father?
Let him get his own girl. I mean,
Darling, if Mr. Owens has a good time at the picnic tomorrow, there may be a promotion in it for Daddy. Remember, Mr. Owens is pretty important.
Yeah, he must be. Your father came here this morning just to tell me that Mr. Owens is a big success in business. Not like some other people he knows.
Oh, Mel.
And he told me Mr. Owens was a big athlete in college. All-American. A real man. Not like some people he knows. He said Lionel Owens is a kind of a man any father would be proud to have for a son-in-law. Not like some other people he knows. I wonder who all those people are your father knows.
Mel, you know Lionel Owens couldn't possibly mean a thing to me. You're just as big a success as he is any day. You know it, and I know it.
Yeah, too bad it's just a secret between you and me.
Well, honey, anyway, tomorrow, remember, I'm spending the day with Mr. Owens to please Father. It's strictly a business deal.
Yeah, and I'm getting the business. Hello, Mr. Colby.
Yes.
Yes, it is a nice day, isn't it?
Melvin, I'm a little worried about the picnic tomorrow.
Oh, there's nothing to worry about. Uncle Rupert, Zuki, and I fixed everything. The chairs, the barbecue, the banner for Mr. Owens.
Mr. Owens, I'm worried about. He has an idea. He's just as good an athlete as the day he left college. He thinks he's as strong as an ox.
Well, gee, Mr. Colby, he ought to enjoy showing off on those two strength testers. You know those two muscle meters we rented from the amusement park?
Yes, he'll be tickled pink if he wins. But if by some freak he loses, I'll never get that job as assistant district manager.
Well, then you have to find somebody who'll compete against Mr. Owens. Somebody who'll be sure to lose.
Yes, what we need is a little weakling, a surefire pushover.
That's right.
I know just the man, but I don't know whether or not he'd do it.
Oh, Mr. Colby, anybody who'd refuse to help you in a situation like this is a, well,
That's all I wanted to know, then I'll ask him.
What's his name?
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc? Me? Oh, hey, Mr. Colby, I'm no athlete.
Exactly. You get the idea.
Oh, no. I posed for one of those health ads. You know those before and after pictures?
Which one were you, before or after?
Neither. I was heaven forbid.
Oh, but it's wonderful. You know, I can just see it now. Lionel Owens takes the mallet, swings at the muscle meter, up goes the whatchamacallit, hits the thingamajig, and the bell rings.
Yeah.
1,000, the meter reads Superman.
Gee, and Mr. Owens wasn't even trying.
And then comes your turn.
Yeah.
You step up, swing the mallet down with all your might. The thingamabob flies up and up and up and up.
What does the meter read for me?
100, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, but Mr. Colby, what will Betty think of me?
We won't say a word about this to anyone, understand? Oh, I knew I could count on you, son. Oh, now I must go down to the station and pick up Mr. Owens.
Must you?
In fact, I think I'll bring him here first, just to let him see what kind of competition he'll be up against tomorrow.
Well, I heard a cutthroat competition, but why must it be my throat?
Is it true what Father told me? You're going to compete against Mr. Owens tomorrow?
Yeah, on the muscle meter, but...
Oh, darling, I'm so proud of you.
Well, maybe you better wait till tomorrow.
Now, this is what I've been waiting for. You taking this way to show Daddy you're not spineless, that you've got a lion's heart and a quick eye.
Gosh, wouldn't it be easier if he just gave me a physical?
Oh, darling, I just know you're going to win. Oh, look, here come Father, Mr. Owens now.
Come on in, Mr. Owens! I want you to meet Bearcat Blank, the strongest man in town.
I'd be delighted to. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yes, and this is my daughter, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Owens.
Well, well, well. I've looked forward to meeting you. It's my pleasure.
It's my girl.
Now, Mel, aren't you going to shake hands with Mr. Owens?
That's right. Put her there, Bearcat.
Oh, oh, oh!
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I never use that hand much anyway.
I hear you're quite a fella in the muscle department. Good, good. I want some real competition. Here, feel some real muscles. Well, go on, feel.
Gee, they are real, aren't they?
You know where I got these?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at 9.
My college days, I used to get up every morning and chop up 6 cords of wood for breakfast. Boy, was that good.
I like Wheaties much better.
Isn't Mel a card, Mr. Owens? Well, we'd better be going. Come on.
Good to know you, Blank. Put her there.
Oh, I'd rather not. I might hurt your other hand.
Goodbye, Mel. You coming, Bye. Father?
I'll be right with you. Now, look, Melvin, it's all understood then, huh?
I guess so.
Owens wins, you lose. If Owens doesn't get a chance to show off those muscles of his tomorrow, he's going to be feeling real awfully bad. And if he feels bad, I'll feel bad. And, well, you know what that means.
Yeah, I'll feel worse.
Yeah. Zuki Miller.
the lad, installing these ridiculous muscle meters has me completely fatigued.
Yeah, I'm all to the tired. Ow. I'm all beat. I'm exhausted. I feel swell.
That supermarket super athlete Owens will give Mel an awful trouncing tomorrow. How does Mel expect to win? He ought to wise up to himself.
Yeah, Mel ought to get next to himself when it comes to he could meet more nice people that way.
But listen, Zookie, Mel is not going to lose. I have a plan.
Yeah.
Zookie, we're going to loosen the spring in this red machine so that no matter how hard this Owens fellow hits it, it won't register over 200. Understand?
Yeah.
And then we're going to tighten the spring on this blue machine so that when Melvin brings his puny mallet down, the bell on top will resound for hours. Get it?
No. How can you tell which muscle meter, which guy is supposed, whether Mel can, how?
Don't you worry, Zookie. I'll see that Mel works only on the blue machine. I've taken care of that. Honest Uncle Rupert had himself appointed referee.
You did?
Yes, my lad. Melvin just can't lose.
Use Colgate toothpowder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate toothpowder.
A breath of trouble makes no detour. It strikes the rich as well as the poor. Perhaps that little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, has even caught up with you. Be on your guard. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
Well, our Mr. Fix-It, Mel Blanc, is really in a fix. Mel has promised to lose to Lionel Owens in a contest of strength on the muscle meter. But Uncle Rupert and Zookie, who know nothing of Mel's promise, have fixed it so that Mel can't lose. Well, we find Mel and Betty at the picnic grounds now, but you can bet that before the day is over, it'll be anything but a picnic for our hero.
Hey, look, Betty, suppose I don't show up so well against Mr. Owens. Would it matter very much to you?
Oh, of course not. I know you're going to do your best against him in this contest. And when it's all over, you'll feel like a new man.
Yeah, and whoever I feel like will be an improvement.
Honey, don't talk like that. I know you're going to win today.
How can you be so sure?
Well, I love you, don't I?
That's logical.
Be serious, darling. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't have the ambition to amount to anything.
Now, that's silly.
I don't have the personality to amount to anything.
That's not true.
And I don't have the brains to amount to anything. Well, there's a fine time to stop arguing with me.
Oh, darling. Well, now, listen, I really must get back to Mr. Owen. Say, do you know what that big windbag said?
What, honey?
He said he can tear a telephone book in half. Isn't that funny?
Can he?
Yes, he tore one in half for me.
Oh.
A Chicago directory, too.
Oh. Well, I can tear a telephone book in half, too.
You can, Mel?
Yeah, if it's one from Ghost Town, Arizona.
Well, goodbye, honey.
Bye.
Don't forget, I'm with you.
Thanks, honey. Oh, this is fine. If I win, I lose. If I lose, I win. Well, at least you can't say I'm not getting an even break.
Zookie,
yes, Uncle Rudy. Hi, Rube.
Are you sure you fixed those muscle meters so that Melvin can't lose?
Oh, yeah, everything is... Everything is okay, check.
What took you so long?
I ran into Dr. Crab.
Dr. Crab, that dog doctor. What's he doing here at the picnic?
Well, he wants to see you.
Here he comes now. I'll talk to him. Zookie, you get back and watch those machines.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, hello, Christopher. How's the good dog doctor today?
Consultant veterinarian, if you don't mind.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me. Just got a catch in my throat. Could I have a pan of water?
Say, Christopher, do you realize you hang around dog kennels so much, you're beginning to sound like a dog?
You're very kind. Thank you, Rupert.
Christopher, I'm in a hurry. I have to referee a contest of strength between Melvin and Mr. Owens.
Oh, I wish you'd introduce me to Mr. Owens. I want to ask him to market my special dog food. It's called Dr. Crab's Doggy Dinner.
How does it taste?
Oh, delicious.
Okay, Christopher. I'll tell Mr. Owens.
Thanks. I'd have told him myself, but I couldn't get to him for all those wild kids here at the picnic.
Oh, come now, Christopher. You must have been pretty wild yourself when you were a pup.
Oh, no. I lived a very sheltered childhood. In fact, I was kept on a leash. My mother saw to that.
Your mother? What about your father?
Who do you think was on the other leash?
Oh, go away. Go away. I've wasted enough time already.
I'll go. Goodbye, Rupert. Remember, don't put a dachshund in a revolving door. He's much too long, my friend. He'll only catch up with himself and say, "Brother, this is the end."
Gentlemen of supermarket number 12, you're about to witness a contest of strength and skill between your esteemed district manager, this mass of muscles, Lionel Owens.
Thank you very much. Here in my hand you see a Chicago telephone directory. Watch closely.
Wish he'd stop tearing up those telephone books.
And his opponent, that grand boy, that magnificent specimen of manhood, proprietor of our local fix-it shop, Mel Blanc.
Hooray!
Thank you, Miss Colby. And now, Mr. Owen, step right up to your muscle meter. No, not that one. Right here. The red one.
Anything you say.
Now, gentlemen, the first one to ring the bell will be the winner. You have three tries. You're first, Mr. Owens. Go ahead.
Okay. Stand back, everybody. This is going to be a cinch. 1,000 the first time. A 100?
100 on the muscle meter. Good for you, Mr. Owens. The meter reads, "Weak as a kitten, drink more milk."
Hey, wait a minute. Wait till I take another swing at this. I'll break it in half.
150 and the meter reads, "Top of the mark, if you're a grandmother."
I don't understand it. Wait, everybody, get further back. Spread out.
Back to 100, and the meter again reads, "Weak as a kitten."
Oh, no, it can't be. I'm through.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Owens. I probably won't hit 75.
That's right, Mel. You won't hit that high, will you?
Me, Mr. Colby? Why?
Right here, Melvin. The blue muscle meter. Step right up, my boy.
Go ahead, darling. You show him.
Okay. Well, here goes, everybody. Did somebody hear something?
1,000 on the muscle meter, and the meter reads, "Superman."
Superman! Oh! That's wonderful, Mel, and with only one hand.
Yeah, my left hand, too.
Well,
Blank, I want to talk to you.
Oh, Mr. Cole, be honest, I just...
I want to talk to you.
I can't now. I'll see you later. I got to get a candy bar, you know, for energy.
Meldon, my boy, wait. Wait for Uncle.
Mr. Colby?
Yes, Mr. Owens.
I want to talk to you alone.
Now, look, Mr. Owens, you weren't in form. Everybody has an off day.
No, Colby, let's face it. I'm slipping. I've been working too hard as district manager. The old fire is gone.
Fire? Oh, you mean the fire's gone. Oh.
Yes, Colby. When I got out of college, I promised myself that the moment I started losing my grip, I'd give up work completely and build myself up again.
You don't say.
Now you can help me, Colby. You've got to take my place as district manager.
Me? District manager?
No, I know it'll take a toll of your strength as it did me, but you won't let me down, will you? Will you accept?
Will I? I will.
Uncle Rupert, let me get this straight. You say you and Zuki fixed those muscle meters so I couldn't help winning?
Exactly, my lad. No job too big for the fix-it shop. Now, are you pleased with your old uncle?
Oh, but you don't understand. The only reason Mr. Colby entered me against Owens was for me to lose. I promised to lose.
Lose?
Mr. Colby will kill me. He'll lose his job. Oh, what a mess.
Oh, I'm sorry, Melvin.
Hey, wait, maybe it's not too late. I hope I can straighten this out before Mr. Colby gets fired. Say, Mr. Owens!
Yes?
Say, what do you say you take another crack at the muscle meter, huh?
It's no use, Mr. Blank. I just haven't got it in me.
Melvin, can't you see that Mr. Owens is tired? Very tired.
Oh, come on, Mr. Owens. Just one more try. You can do better than grandmother.
No, thanks. I've been embarrassed enough for one day.
Melvin, let's just let things stand the way they are, shall we? Shall we?
Mr. Owens, please. Here, take this mallet. Step up to the blue muscle meter. Please, go on, try it, please.
Well, okay, but it's really no use.
You see, 1,000, Mr. Owens. You're a...
Yeah, I'm Superman.
I'm Superman! Whoa!
I'm my old self again. Mr. Colby. Where's Mr. Colby?
Here I am, sir.
Oh, I thought I was through, Mr. Colby, but Mel here changed my mind.
Yeah, didn't I?
Well, I won't be needing anybody to replace me, Colby. I guess I'm still right there on the beam, thanks to Mel here. See you later, everybody.
Oh, Daddy, aren't you proud of Mel?
You...
Daddy, put down that mouse!
Mr. Colby!
We'll be back in a moment with a Zookieism.
What's a Zookieism? Wait and see.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
You know, not even a loving wife can bring herself to mention a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, to her husband. Don't let that breath of trouble hurt your happy marriage. Be sure to do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Zuki, I hope you learned something about competition from today's picnic.
Yes, Zuki. Everything in life has a moral. What did you learn?
Well, I learned that to win, you got to put your shoulder to the... to win, you got to put your nose to the... to win, you got to... you got to be a good loser.
This is Bud Houston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath of sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Halo lets hair sparkle with natural brilliance. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather to quickly carry away loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Rhines. Ladies, remember, your butcher pays you 4 cents a pound for used kitchen fat. Sell him a can this week for sure. The Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, an episode of the Mel Blanc Show featuring the voice talents of Mel Blanc and friends. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. There's been a series of false alarms and the firefighters are on the case on the Golden Age of Radio.
Five bells. Stand by all stations.
Attention, all districts. Five alarm fire, five bells. Move in immediately.
That's it. Let's roll. Let's go. Firefighters! Presenting Firefighters, the true-to-life story of America's unsung heroes, who stand ready to ride by day or night against our most murderous enemy, the demon of fire. In just a minute, we'll take you to the home of young Tim Collins, rookie fireman, at a moment when it looks as if he's about to lay hands on the culprit who rang in the false alarm that nearly cost Tim his life when, you remember, Tim was thrown from the ladder truck and sent to the hospital with a broken arm. Evidence has just turned up right in the Collins home. But first, here's something you'd like to know.
Every one of you undoubtedly has a headache or pain remedy that you swear by. But haven't you noticed that on some occasions it fails you? That there are times it does not seem to work? On these occasions, let me suggest that you try Anacin, for here is a remedy that I'm sure won't fail you. You'll find the fastest and most complete relief in Anacin you have ever experienced. The reason is simple. Anacin contains not one pain-soothing agent alone, but four. One of which is in all probability the remedy you now customarily take to relieve pain. You can get Anacin at your druggist for a few cents. Your money back if you're not pleased. I'll spell the name. A-N-A-C-I-N.
Let's go, firefighters! Tim Collins, rookie fireman, has recovered from his broken arm and will soon be ready for service. Meanwhile, like every other man in the city fire department, he's looking for the owner of a certain red and green knit glove, the glove that was found under the firebox from which the mysterious culprit rang in the nearly fatal false alarm. To celebrate his recovery, Tim has invited his family, including Brother Jimmy and Sister Trudy, to go to the movies. As they prepare to leave the house, Mrs. Collins, Tim's mother, says to 14-year-old...
Better put your gloves on, Jimmy. It's pretty cold.
Oh, he can't, Mummy. He lost them.
I didn't either. Only lost one of them. See, here's the other one right here in my pocket.
Jim, let me see that glove.
What's the matter, son?
Well, it's glove of Jimmy's. Yes, it's for the right hand. And the night of the blizzard, somebody dropped a glove, a red and green knitted glove for the left hand under the box where he rang in that false alarm.
Jimmy, what does this mean?
Oh, Mom, I lost my glove. That's all it means.
You lost your glove? Where?
I know, Tim. I know, Mummy. Why, he lost it?
Don't you dare say a word. Keep still. They think I'd pull a false alarm. I don't care what they think.
Oh, now, Jimmy, wait a minute. This is serious business. We don't want to think anything like that, but there's the evidence. If you can clear yourself... Look, just tell us where you lost that other glove.
Oh, if I knew where it got lost, it wouldn't be lost, would it?
Let me, Tim. Now, Jimmy, look at me.
Yes, Mom.
Jimmy, you're a truthful, helpful, honest boy.
Oh.
Yes, you are. And I'm going to ask you just one question, Jimmy. Do you know anything at all about that false alarm the night of the blizzard?
No, Mom. Honest, I don't.
Well, then. Tim?
All right. I believe you, Jimmy. And, well, I won't even mention to Chief Cody that you have or had a glove like the one the arson squad is trying to trace. At least I won't mention it yet.
Glory be, that's over. And now, Tim Collins, you invited us all to the movies. Are you going to take us or are you not?
All right, you folks go on into the lobby, Mom. I'll get our tickets.
Come along, you two. We'll wait inside where it's warm.
Four seats, please, downstairs. Uh-huh. Thank you, miss.
Evening, Collins.
Who's that? Oh, hello, Chief Cody.
You didn't recognize me, huh?
Oh, no, sir, not in civilian clothes. Well, say, if you're going inside, why don't you sit with us, Chief?
I'd like to, son, but I'm on duty. Just doing a little plain clothes work.
Oh, on that false alarm case?
That's it. We tipped off the men on duty in theaters and other public places to keep an eye out for the mate to that red and green glove.
You know, it doesn't seem likely the culprit would keep it when the pair's been broken.
No, it's a thin chance, Collins.
Yes, sir, unless... Chief Cody, if there's going to be a wave of false alarms...
Right. One glove is enough to prevent fingerprints when the rascal pulls another box.
Now, we'll wait right here till Tim gets the tickets. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Cassidy. There's Mrs. Cassidy. She has a recipe I want. Look, Jimmy, Trudy, you stand here and watch for Tim.
Hi.
Oh, Mrs. Cassidy, before you go in, I'd like to...
Jimmy.
Huh?
Jimmy, why don't you let me tell them where you lost your glove? So they can be sure you weren't mixed up in that false alarm.
Don't you dare. If anybody tells, it's got to be me. Besides, I don't know where I lost it. All I know is how. Besides, plenty of kids wear gloves just like mine. I bet they lose them all the time.
Huh? Where'd you ever see anybody wearing gloves like that?
I forget, but I did so see somebody. I bet I'll remember who in a minute.
Hey, look at Jimmy Collins. Look at Jimmy out with his kid sister. Yay, Jimmy's gonna take his kid sister to the movies.
You watch yourself, Droopy, and never mind that fresh talk about my sister.
Silly old thing. Always pushing in where you're not welcome.
Oh, hey, you don't have to get sore. Can't you take a joke?
All right, but watch yourself.
Hey, look, some movie tonight, huh?
Yep. There's a big fire in the main feature. That's why we came. It's all about firemen.
Me too. I've seen it twice before. Oh, boy, when the fire trucks come screeching up the street, clang, 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 and the people all screaming and yelling. That's what I like, when they're yelling for help and they got the livers and lights get out of
there. Oh, hush, you're making so much noise. Everybody's looking at us.
Yeah, well, there'll be more noise than that when the special attraction begins. You'll be screaming and yelling same as the rest. Special attraction, that's good.
Oh, that droopy Dolan gives me the creeps.
Hey, kids, where's Mom? Oh, there she is with Mrs. Cassidy. Hello, Mrs. Cassidy. Come on, kids. Let's pick up Mom and go get our seats. I was delayed talking to Chief Cody out at the ticket office.
Jimmy, stop wiggling around.
Yes, Mom. Trudy, I just thought of something.
What?
I remember who had gloves just like mine. But if I tell Tim, maybe he'll think I'm making it up.
Oh.
Shh, don't say anything, but... Maybe Chief Cody should know.
But Tim saw him at the ticket window just now.
Hey, what's the matter with you two? Can't you keep still and watch the picture?
I'm thirsty.
Well, go get a drink then. And you better hurry or you'll miss the part in the picture where the fire starts.
All right, then. Let me, excuse me, Mom. Chief Cody, Could I see you a minute?
Well, well, Jimmy Collins.
Chief Cody, I knew somebody who had a pair of gloves like the ones you're looking for.
What's that? Who is it, son?
It's a fellow that goes to Northside School with Trudy and me. He... Golly gosh, Chief Cody, I don't want to be a squealer.
I understand, Jimmy, but this isn't squealing. This is detective work.
Well, it's... If somebody goes around pulling false alarms, he's got to be stopped. And if I know something about the case, I guess, maybe it's a kind of duty to tell.
It is your duty, son. It's your duty to help protect your neighbors and your own family, too. You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do. Well, tonight, when Mom left Trudy and me waiting right over there, I was just trying to remember where I saw a pair of gloves like that, and... Golly, what's that?
Oh, just the movie, son. That's the big fire scene in the picture. All right, go ahead now.
Oh, I'm gonna miss it. Oh, never mind. Well, the fellow I was trying to remember walked right up to Trudy and me, and he said...
Fire! Fire! Run for your lives!
That didn't sound like a movie, Chief Cody.
Hold it a minute, Jimmy.
Fire! The theater's burning! Run! Everybody run!
You're right, Jimmy. That's some maniac spreading a panic.
Everybody run!
Jimmy, there's the manager's office there behind that door. Now get inside that office and wait until I come for you. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Some fool back there is hysterical.
People, Tim, if they lose their heads and start rushing for the exit...
Yeah, someone's going to get hurt. Mom, you and Trudy stay here. Don't leave your seats until the aisles are clear.
All right.
Run, everybody, run.
Here comes trouble, Mom. Let me out the aisle.
Run for your lives.
I got you.
Hey, let go. Run, everybody, run.
Stop that yelling. You're starting a panic. Lights! Turn on the house lights!
Let go! You let me go!
I'll let you go when I find it. Hey, come back here!
Let me get...
I got you!
Now, ease up there. Ease up. This is Chief Cody.
Oh, sorry, sir. I was trying to... Well, this is Tim Collins, Chief.
Oh, good. Just the man I want. We've got to calm these people down.
Where'd the fire start, Chief?
There's no fire. No fire at all.
What?
Just some lunatic driving the audience wild with fright.
Oh, Chief, I had my hands on him. He broke away.
Never mind that. We'll get him in time. Now, Collins... You get up on that stage. Tell these people there's no danger before they kill themselves jamming the exit.
Yes, sir. I'm on my way. All right, let me through. All right, fire department, mister. Let me by.
All right, now, take your seats. There's no danger. There's no fire. Now, take your seats, please. Oh, great Scott, another false alarm. That fiend has fouled up half the fire department with another false alarm.
Now, there's a case of one person playing a cruel practical joke, threatening the lives of hundreds of innocent people in a theater audience. But Tim Collins and Chief Cody are on the spot. Jimmy Collins, Tim's younger brother, has remembered where he saw a pair of red and green knit gloves like the one the arson squad is trying to trace, and the case is rushing toward its climax. For what happens next, listen to our next true-to-life episode of The Firefighters. In just a moment, Chief Bob Cody will tell you, boys and girls, how you can help the firefighters in your own town. But first, here's a message you don't want to miss.
Snap! What a happy sound! Snap is the happiest sound I've found. Me clap, rap. Snap, crackle, right, crispy. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or spot not found. Snap, crackle, right, crispy. I insist that pop's the sound. The best was missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Snap, crackle, right, crispy.
And now, Chief Bob Cody, with a special assignment for all junior firefighters. Chief Cody.
Hello, boys and girls. This is Chief Cody calling you to attention for your special assignment. Attention, firefighters. You are to take special precautions next time you go to the movies or any place where crowds assemble. Make special note of the emergency exits. Make a plan in your own mind of how you would walk to safety and lead others in case of fire. And boys and girls, promise me this. If you are ever in such a place when fire breaks out, keep your heads. Keep cool and walk. Do not run. Oh, I repeat, do not run. Walk to the nearest exit. Well, that's all. Goodbye for now, and you'll be hearing from me soon.
Fire Chief Cody and the young rookie fireman, Tim Collins, will be back at the same time on the same station when you hear...
That's it. Let's roll.
Let's go, firefighters.
Your Autolite dealer presents your favorite friends from Gasoline Alley. Hold it, Wilmer. Hold it till I get this phone.
Okay, Skay Six.
Wallet and Bobble Garage, Skay Six Wallet speaking. What's that? Oh, yes, sir, we can fix it. We can fix anything on four wheels.
Sure, we'll be waiting for you right here in Gasoline Alley.
Yes, it's Gasoline Alley, the comic strip that's a favorite in more than 100 great newspapers. In this episode, The Adventure of the Defective Detective, the boys seem to stumble into the most mysterious murder and mayhem when they meet a man with a hole in the head. But first, a word from the friendly Autolite dealer in your own hometown. And now, Gasoline Alley. Shortly after luncheon time in the garage right now, and Skay Six and his partner, Wilmer Bobble, are repairing a flat tire on a big black sedan. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that Skay Six is repairing the tire, for Wilmer seems very interested in an ad in the local paper.
Listen to what it says here about the murder, Skay Six.
I suppose I'll have to, Wilmer. Hand me that tire tool, will you?
Here you are. This ad says about the murder.
Wilmer, they haven't started advertising murder in the paper, have they?
If you'll just listen, Skay Six, I'll tell you. Now, it's an ad for the Bijou Theater.
Tube's like new now. All right, I'm listening.
It says, beginning with today's matinee, the most famous detective of radio, stage, and screen, Peter McPeeper, the private eye, in person...
What does... private eye mean?
Skay Six, sometimes your ignorance appalls me. Private eye means detective. Haven't you seen Peter McPeeper or heard him on the radio?
I suppose so, Wilmer. Hand me the air hose.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Now, listen to what it says about the murder.
All right, go on.
It says, Peter McPeeper in person will reenact on the stage one of the great murders of history and will show how he solved the crime. There, what do you think of that?
Well, I suppose some people will pay to see it.
What do you mean, some people? I'm going to pay to see it.
Huh?
What I mean is, the matinee starts in about half an hour, Skay Six, and I thought...
You're taking the afternoon off. Is that what you mean?
Well, yes, Skay Six. That is, of course, if you think you can get along without me.
Oh, I guess I'll manage.
Well, after all, we've almost finished this job.
We've almost finished. Wilmer, you've done nothing but read about Peter McPeeper, the private eye.
Well, just tell me what you want me to do, Skay Six.
Help me finish here. The man who left this car said he had to have it by 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's almost 2 now.
Yes, and he said he wanted the spare put on in place of this one. Here, I've almost got enough air in it.
When we finish here, maybe you can come to the matinee with me, Skay Six.
No, thanks.
But Peter McPeeper, the private eye, is the greatest detective of all time. I remember in one of his movies, He looked at a man's track and was able to tell, just from looking at the track, mind you, he was able to tell that it was made by a left-handed diamond cutter who owned a St. Bernard puppy and a sweetheart in Lower California. And then there was the time that he...
Oh, Wilmer, that stuff is ridiculous.
What do you mean it's ridiculous?
I mean, detective stories are fun to see or listen to, but it's the police who actually solve all the crimes.
Gazix, you are absolutely wrong. Peter McPeeper never calls in the police. No, sir. He faces the criminal single-handed. He looks him in the eye, and he makes him wilt with fright. Peter McPeeper is absolutely fearless. He's...
All right, Wilmer. This tire's finished. Put it away, will you, and give me the spare.
Oh, sure, Skeezer, sure. I'll just roll it to the back of the car. I guess the spare is in this trunk, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. The man didn't say when he left the car.
Yeah, I guess it's in here.
Hurry it up, will you? The man will be back any minute now.
Okay, Skazik. Having trouble opening this rear trunk.
Maybe the tire's inside the car in the back seat.
Yep, I'm getting it open now. There. I got it, Skazik. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I didn't know you were in there. Skazik! There's a man in the trunk!
Silly, Wilmer, what would a man be doing in that trunk?
He's not doing anything. He's just lying here, looking out of both eyes and a bullet hole in the middle of him. Oh.
Wilmer, it is.
Look there in his chest.
A dagger and a pistol.
Don't touch them, Skeezix. They're glued, the murder weapons.
Have you finished my car?
Skeezix, it's him.
The man who left the car here.
He's the murderer. Well, I know what to do in a case like this.
Where is everybody? I'm in a hurry.
I've got the gun and dagger, Skeezix. Come on.
Wilmer, maybe we'd better wait.
Is anybody here? Oh. Here you are.
Yes, we're here, you murdering swine.
Huh?
Make one false move and I drill you where you stand.
That gun. Don't point it at me.
I'm the worst of pointing at you.
If you want my money, I'll give it to you. That gun, it might go off.
Darn right it'll go off and you'll drop in your tracks, you low
down
murderer.
Help! Wilmer, he's gone.
He's gone, but he won't get far. Don't you worry about that.
I'll call the police right away.
Call them if you want to, Skeezix. But I'm rushing right over to the Bijou. This is a case for Peter McPeeper, the private eye.
To Gasoline Alley and the adventure of the defective detective. Well, the boys discovered a body in the trunk of a big black sedan on which they were fixing a flat tire. Skeezix called the police and, against his better judgment, left things in charge of Bix and Sarge before the police arrived. Well, at the moment, the boys are backstage at the Bijou and...
I should have stayed till the police got there, Wilmer, but I knew you'd get in trouble.
We'll clear this thing up in no time, Skeezix. Oh, wait, there's the manager. Oh, Mr. Jones!
Yes. Oh, hello, Wilmer. Skeezix.
Mr. Jones, we're looking for Peter McPeeper, the private eye.
Yeah, and so is that audience looking for him. Now, just listen to them when I part his curtains.
But where is Mr. McPeeper?
Backstage here somewhere, confound him. I've played the newsreels 3 times, and that audience is getting mad. McPeeper refuses to go on.
Oh, what's wrong, Mr. Jones?
How do I know, Skeezix? He won't tell anybody. Just wanders around mumbling that he's ruined, he's finished.
Oh, well, he'll feel better when we tell him about the case we've got for him.
Well, I hope somebody can do something to get him to go on with his act. Confound it, that audience out there will tear down this theater if something doesn't happen soon. I got the curtain up, the lights on.
Just which way did he go, Mr. Jones?
Huh? Oh, down that corridor, mumbling to himself. There he comes.
Skeezix, the murderer.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Jones. Nothing like this has ever happened before. But
you...
Yes, you murdering swine, and this time I'll get you.
Help! Help!
I'll get you this time!
Mr. Jones, look. They're running round and round on the stage.
The audience thinks it's part of the act.
Look out. Here they come.
Help, Mr. Jones. Help me. This madman.
Now I've got you, murdering swine.
Wilmer, he's blue in the face. Stop it, Wilmer. Stop choking Mr. McPeeper.
Mr. McPeeper? McPeeper? Is he McPeeper?
Yes. And why do you say he's a murderer?
He's a madman, Mr. Jones.
He chased me away from his garage with a gun. Now he comes here.
But, Mr. McPeeper, the body in the trunk of your car.
Of course it's in my car. That's why I can't go on with my act.
You use a dead body in your act?
It's a dummy. The most lifelike dummy in show business. I paid hundreds of dollars for it. And when this hold-up man chased me away,
Wilmer isn't a hold-up man, Mr. McPeeper. He thought you were the murderer.
He's a madman. Kept me from getting my dummy, and now I can't go on with my act.
But why didn't you ask the police to get your dummy?
No. No. That would have been the end. Peter McPeeper never calls in the police.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to see. Also, Peter McKeeper is supposed to be absolutely fearless, right?
Of course he is. And if the story ever got out that I was chased away by a simple garage mechanic...
You mean me, Mr. McKeeper?
Yes, I mean you. If that story ever got out, I'd be the laughingstock of the country.
Now, gentlemen, that audience, we've got to do something about putting on this show. Now, please...
But I have no dummy to play my murder victim. By the time I could get my dummy, it would be too late.
Wait a minute, Mr. McKeeper, wait.
Yes, Mr. Wallace.
I've got an idea. Maybe it won't work, but let's try it anyway. Now, here's why.
And now here he is, in person. Peter McPeeper, the private eye.
Thank you. Thank you. Due to certain difficulties, I was unable to bring to the theater my usual stage props. However, the show must go on. As you know, I use a dummy in my act, a dummy which I've used for years, a most satisfactory dummy, I thought, until today. Today, however, I've discovered a dummy to end all dummies. In fact, so naturally does this dummy perform, I'm sure you'll agree that being a dummy must have been his life's work. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, for this performance only, appearing in my act, taking the part of the dummy, that prominent local citizen, J. Wilmer Bobble.
Hello, folks.
Your Gasoline Alley friends will be back in just a moment. Now, a word from your own Autolite dealer. Now, a word about the next adventure in Gasoline Alley. Here's Skeezix.
Wilmer, please, sit down.
Your Honor, if the court pleases, I object.
Wilmer, no.
The witness, Your Honor, is perjured, forsworn, and suborned. Also, the witness is a point-blank liar.
Wilmer, please. The witness is you.
Broadcast from November 12, 1948, The Adventure of the Defective Detective on an episode of Gasoline Alley, starring Bill Lipton, Mason Adams, and Robert Dryden. This has been the golden age of radio. Classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web, at archive.org. Tune in again for the golden age of radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.